Three, two, one. Hello, world. Welcome to TYH Forum. My name is Anglo, and with me I have Nike.
Hello.
How you guys doing, Nike? Not the audience.
Yeah, not the audience, just me. I'm doing all right. Now, how about you, audience? Tell us in the comments how you're doing.
Oh, God. I guess you could do that.
I don't know. You prompted me there.
But yeah, it's been a while. It's been, I don't know, a month.
It's been
2 months since I talked to you. Actually, a month and a half, more like it.
Something like
Chickadee
that.
China, the Chinese chicken? Is that too racialist nowadays?
Yeah, should that get canceled?
Yeah, should we cancel that song? Or what about that Bare Naked Ladies song where they're in the... I know the music video is them at like a fake drive-through restaurant working and fries are like floating in the air and shit. I don't know.
I've never seen this. I don't think I've ever felt compelled to watch the music video for a Bare Naked Ladies song.
Yeah. It was a recommended video and I couldn't resist to watch Bare Naked Ladies at McDonald's fighting.
Was it worth it?
Yeah. But, you know, we're back. We were busy. And I think the busy time is over, but don't expect weekly podcasts. Or maybe. Who knows? We're going to keep you surprised.
Always keep them guessing.
Yeah, that's how we maintain our cool.
One thing you'll never have to guess about, though, is will we read your comments?
Yes.
And the answer is yes, we will.
There's a lot of comments, so I gotta go through these quick.
Starting with Zoomerman, who says Dragon Ball is a near tier anime. That said, it's still good.
So that means you just outed yourself as black?
Yeah, I think by association there. Because Kiba Roth says them's infighting words, and some Norwegian says, just remember, time travel makes everyone dead. Just ask Trunks. Oh, wait.
I don't know what that means.
It's talking about Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Trunks. Ah, yeah. There was that little special they had where they had, like, the side story of, like, how future Trunks came to the past and his story or something. I remember that. Those special made-for-TV things that are not part of the official manga canon. But yeah, Dragon Ball is the only anime I know about. Rising Rival says, this is the real 420 treat. Sitting down and listening to another thrilling episode from none other than the Young Whites. I have to correct you there, it's TYH, but I understand why you said that.
And Vadashaska sends us a picture of his keyboard. It's just got the F5 worn down to the nub.
Yeah.
Refreshing like a motherfucker on that F5 gang.
I guess F5 keyboards look... The F5 key looks the same on Hungarian keyboards.
It must. I mean, this picture he's shown, it's got to be his keyboard and nothing else. I refuse to believe otherwise.
And going
he wouldn't just post somebody else's keyboard and claim that it's his.
And then Zoomerman says, TYH is the only podcast where I feel my comments will actually be read by the hosts and not drown in a sea of comments. And then some Norwegian replies, hats off to you, sir. If that isn't a well-phrased insult, I don't know what is. Your show is good, Adelfia, friends. I assume you meant no harm, Zoomerman. Still funny as hell, though. Smiley face. Good. I like it when our fans interact with each other.
Me too.
And then Zoomerman has another
he
one.
He says, yeah.
Read it.
The sexual revolution and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race. And some Norwegian replies to that as well, saying, wouldn't worry about it. Just give it 3 to 5 years and you will get state-enforced sex robots to ensure you reach that daily sperm count.
Based. And as you guys know, we're a big fan of the Hmongs, the tribe of people from Asia. We don't know where they're from, but they're Hmongs. And then Tam says, Among Us. Like, Among Us.
I get it.
Yeah.
Well, I actually know where they're from. They're from the...
China?
The Earth's crust. They're mole people.
Agartha? What's that place called?
Oh, no. They're not beneath the Earth. They're within the Earth.
Oh, okay.
They live in the dirt.
They're the true crust punks.
They're... Exactly. I'm more of a mantle punk myself. But they are mole people.
Yeah, and Vadhashtaska says, I heard it's a popular game among Hmongs. And then you said, Mongoloids.
Mongoloids.
And we were also talking about Dragon Ball Z. I think that was obvious from the other comments. But Joey Baloney says, Majin Buu is an analogy for liberalism. I don't know why, but maybe it's because he's fat. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah. Pink retard.
He is a feeder.
Do you know this to be canon?
There's got to be some fanfic where that's the case.
I'm not interested in researching that. You can look that one on your own, bro.
Do you remember the kids in high school that would write fanfic and they would talk about it?
No.
They were also known as
people in high school who would make fun of fanfic, including me. I was one of those people. We didn't know anyone who wrote fanfic. We'd just make fun of shit we wrote online. And we actually we wrote some ironic fanfic before.
There is this guy, he was Asian. I think he wasn't Japanese, he was Chinese. And he would talk about how he would write fanfic. One of those kind of guys. People with the tails, you know what I'm talking about? The anime tails, the clip on.
Oh yeah. The like, you know, the furry signaling. It's like the armband of furries.
I wonder if there's a code. Like the
again, I'm not looking that up.
Supposedly like the bandana code that you've heard about.
Yeah, I'm not going to investigate this.
Jonathan Fash is talking about how our archive link might be dead, but I think it's fine. It's working now. Maybe.
Yeah, they hit the F5 and it's a non-issue.
And our big buddy fan, Von Hashtaska, says, fun fact, Dragon Ball Z was banned in Hungary mid-season because some kid lit himself on fire and jumped out of his window. It was in the middle of some good story arc where Goku and Frieza were staring at each other for 5 episodes straight, and they just dropped it. All we were left with was Sailor Moon. Just, by the way, your podcast inspired me to cut down on the content consumption a bit and pick up language learning again. And we...
Based.
Yeah, and you asked him what language you're going to study, and he said Japanese. Because a weeb friend of his introduced him to anime, and that's how he started studying Japanese. But he gave up because ain't nobody got time for that. Now with the right tools, he thinks he can achieve some level of fluency and watch Japanese cartoons without subtitles. Read manga in the original Japanese. I could read katakana, by the way.
Oh, wow. Look at this guy. He's just like, yeah, I'll pronounce those letters.
And then you could go to some Norwegian and...
Yeah, he's got back-to-back saying, hold up on a minute. What have you done to that Greek? How come he got it and managed to make a follow-up? Also, how I wish those sweet, sweet lies on one's 15 minutes of fame could be safely wasted here at the TRS network were true. And then he says, to be fair, Christopher Hitchens was an orator extraordinaire. There are few and far between those who can talk you into willingly becoming a slave and leave you feeling like you made the deal of a lifetime. Thank God.
He would have been a good man in the South in the 1800s. Yeah, but he just
convinces everybody to remain a slave after the Civil War.
Yeah, I know he is definitely a very talented speaker. It's just his ideas are cringy. he was like a neoconservative when it wasn't cool. At the time, I kind of respected it because I thought it was kind of funny. It was kind of like it wasn't a troll move, but I liked annoying, you know, shitty liberals at the time. So being pro-Iraq war, even though I wasn't, I just thought it was funny that he was. Again, I've changed, but... So Teutonophile89 says, we were talking about Gothic language. He says that now Quora has the really shitty description of Gothic, calling it a bastardized version of Greek mixed with Latin and made up words. But I have a feeling that was butthurt Catholics, because the Goths brought Orthodox Christianity into prominence under Tortilla in the Western Roman Empire. I mean, Tortilla.
Tortilla.
I didn't know that about the Goths. I mean, it's kind of a dark aesthetic, so I can understand why the Goths like Orthodox Christianity. You know, it's got that.
Tortilla, king of the Ostrogoths.
If you're listening to Sisters of Mercy, that kind of matches the aesthetic, you know.
Mm. But you have one that you skipped there.
No, I'm going to read it. It's just... So if you want to get it, he talks about if you want to get into Gothic, there are two authors he recommends. Gothic by William Holmes Bennett and Gothic by Thomas O. Lambden. From there, go into Grammar of the Gothic Language by Jay Wright. Well, if you want to learn Gothic, listen to this guy. He sounds...
There's the wreck. I'm, you know, if you're going to call yourself Teutonophile, I trust your take on learning Gothic.
Heidegger 14 says, speaking of damaged books, because I complained at the beginning of last episode that I received a book from Amazon, a book from Alan de Benoist that was in horrible condition, that looked like it had been abused. And yeah. Speaking of damaged books, Heidegger writes, I ordered from Amazon and the book arrived smelling like strong maple syrup. No blemishes, no stains, just stunk like syrup. I kept the book outdoors, but months later still reeks. what the fuck do the Eritreans do in the warehouse?
Yeah, no, I think that's shipped straight from Canada.
Yeah, you replied, or is that your way of summing up your reply?
Yeah. Last but not least, Paul Fusilier says, I believe the reason there are Germans in Central Asia, especially Kazakhstan, is because the Soviet Union relocated there from Europe as a means of breaking local ethnic solidarity among Baltic German communities.
Bastards.
That's a very interesting take, and it makes sense to me. Removing Germans from the Baltic states seems like it would have been a high priority of the post-war Soviet state.
You know, it's very unfortunate that they had to go to Kazakhstan, of all places. Can't you, like, bring me to...
Yeah, not much to do there.
You know, Nikkei, what do you think about collecting?
I like collecting. It's a very white hobby.
It is. You know, I'm kind of against collecting, to be honest.
It's probably for some gay reason, right?
No, it's just like, why do you need all that product, and why do you need to show it to everyone? Just have one of something that lasts you and just use that.
Because some things are different. Not everything is the same. You know, the whole point of collecting is to enjoy the differences between the items that you have. I mean, I think...
Why don't you give it to a museum?
I don't know, because not every museum wants what you have. Like, no, not everybody has the same interests you do. And it's like, you know, a museum can only hold so many things. And, like, let's be honest, the things that people collect today, it's like, one, on the one hand, you have expensive things that people don't want to leave outside of their own, you know, property management.
Yeah.
So, like, trusting it in the hands of museum curators is probably not your first prerogative. And on the other hand, there's just things that are niche to the point where it's not worth putting in a museum.
Yeah, like Funko Pops.
Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely not something that belongs in a museum.
Well, that was the transition to the topic about Funko Pop collecting. But before I get into that, like, I somewhat collect books, but I don't like to collect rare books. I just want to collect books I'm eventually going to read. So I actually prefer editions that aren't rare and expensive because I want to read it, you know, and hold on to it and write in it. If I have like a first edition of Being in Time or something like that, like, what am I going to do with that? Look at it? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, that's what you do with the other books, isn't it?
Well, you look at it when you're reading. Reading is just looking at pages.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I know, but I can't write on it. I'd feel guilty. Like I'm destroying a piece of history.
You can't have a notebook to keep your notes. You have to write on the book.
Well, you need to highlight sections and write your comments and stuff.
I suppose.
But anyways, we're going to go back to what I thought was ridiculous. There are these, you know, we like to make fun of Funko Pops. That's the typical Bugman toy collector's item thing. But apparently there is, of course, I mean, this makes sense. There is a big community of Funko Pop collectors, people who have thousands upon thousands of Funko Pops and spend every waking hour of their lives trying to find that special Funko Pop that they can't find at Box Lunch or Hot Topic, you know. They're going around just thinking about Funko all the time, Funko Pops. But there was this weird moment. I was watching one of these documentaries on Funko Pop collectors, and there's this weird slip. I'm going to play a part of the documentary I was watching. It's only like, it was a short documentary, but the section is only a few seconds. Tell me if you guys hear anything weird.
One to just follow the trends in terms of what is rare, why it's rare. And a lot of them I collect because they bring out nostalgia for me from my childhood, whether it be a specific franchise or cartoon or movie I grew up in.
Wait, what?
Funko's doing is like they're taking...
Movie he grew up in.
It's an interesting choice of words there.
You know, it's probably an innocent slip of the tongue. Mixing up of prepositions, which I do sometimes. But it might reveal something very deep in his psyche. You know what a slip of the tongue is called?
No.
Parapraxis. It's from Freud.
It's praxis.
That's true praxis right there, slipping of the tongue. Yeah, well, of course, he was supposed to say, like, movies I grew up with, but he said movies I grew up in. That seems to, like, that his reality is not the world of, you know, his mom and his dad. His reality is the characters of the movie that he grew up with or in, literally. Like, he thinks that's his reality. He grew up in that movie. That's, you know, even though it's an innocent slip of the tongue, and it might not even mean what we think it does, but it could, you know.
I mean, you can live in multiple movies. You're not just secluded and restrained to just one movie, because you can watch a whole bunch of movies, and that's how you like internalize it, you're living in the movie. It's not just one; it can be as many as you want, as many as you watch.
And Nikkei's movie has subtitles in Greek.
Yes, that's the movie I grew up in.
You know what? I'm curious. I don't know if you know this or not, but I know, like, in Sweden and Scandinavian countries, they just subtitle movies that are in English. They don't really dub them. But do they dub movies in Greece, like American movies, or is it subtitled? Or is that just a weird thing you don't know about?
I don't really watch Greek movies.
You don't watch, what's that movie, the teddy bear movie, Ted? You don't watch that in Greek, the Greek version?
I think the only thing I can remember is, like, there are dubs of, like, famous movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking way back to my childhood right now, remember seeing Hercules dubbed in Greek. Disney's the Hercules cartoon version. They did a separate dub for that.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I know in Germany they dub movies as opposed to just subtitling them. I feel like subtitling is better in a sense because you could pick up the language, you know, if you want to do that. It's like,
I don't know, that feels like the
American
the
cultural
the bug man way of learning a language is watching
TV. That is true. I can't do that. Like, people say a big recommendation for learning a language is to watch TV and in that foreign language, but there's nothing I want to fucking see on TV.
Yeah, I know this one girl who like picked up Korean mostly by watching Korean television.
Yeah. That's like, oh, like get a TV show you like The Big Bang Theory and watch it dubbed in the language you're learning.
I absolutely refuse to allow anybody to learn English by watching Big Bang Theory. If I find out
there's a lot of,
you know, I can't control that unless I know of a case when it's happening, but if I ever hear of such an instance, I will do everything in my power to stop it. You're not allowed to learn English through Big Bang Theory.
You know what's been done.
I refuse to admit this.
You can't escape from reality, Nike.
You mean I can't escape from hyper-reality?
Well,
it's actually quite easy to escape reality. Hyper-reality is hard to avoid.
Yeah. Well, I know
there are multi-billion-dollar industries devoted to helping you escape from reality.
Now, what is the entertainment going to be like in the ethnostate, the comedy TV shows?
I have no idea.
Is it just going to be live action us, like, or like a us doing our podcast and broadcasting it, video of it? Kind of like tedious.
Yeah, why not? I think we could do good.
Yeah. Preferably, like, we would move closer to each other so we don't have to do it over Skype or Zoom or something like that.
Right.
So I can, you know, get mad at you, I could pull your beard or something.
You're not doing that.
And people could see my beautiful blonde hair, kind of blonde, and well, it was blonde. It's kind of a dirty blonde now as I've gotten older.
And your teratoma.
What is that?
The twin that you cannibalized in the birth canal. You can still see the remains of it coming out of your shoulder, right? Everyone will be able to see that.
How did you think of that?
I don't know.
Now I know what a now I know what that's.
I mean,
called.
How can I forget?
Once this guy has a teratoma on his fucking ball.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
I searched for teratoma and it shows a graph. Not a graph. An illustration of a case of teratoma, and this guy has teratoma on his ball, his left ball.
Gross.
So it's his brother, his would-be brother's ball stuck to his ball. Is that what that is? Oh, God, no, no! Okay, I looked at images of teratoma. I just disgust. Pure ugly.
Yeah, no, it's a very freakish condition.
Dude, you know, that was really bad.
You should really think about getting that removed. I know you have that whole sibling attachment. You just gotta bite the bullet and get the surgery, man.
But that's my brother.
Or sister, we will never know. Do you want to get into a bit about Memorial Day?
Yes.
Now, I had been going through the old Pleroma, which you're on, but don't ever log on.
Use once every 6 months.
Yeah, something like that. And this comes from Master Obi-Han, who mentioned something about a video he saw where people on the street are interviewed asking if they know the significance of Memorial Day. And one college student said that he had never hated the U.S. until he took a women's gender studies class and finished it up by saying, fuck America. Yeah. And I had misinterpreted that originally. I thought it's like you take a women in gender studies class and hated it so much that he said, fuck America. I hate this whole country.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is that he says F America, but America represents the things that he's learning in that class nowadays.
Yeah, and I asked the guy for a link to the video, and sure enough, he actually came through with a campus reform link. All reliable. I was unpleasantly surprised to find that it was actually just some, like, Soyim saying how, oh, you know,
America's not positive.
Having
this
new perspective on gender made him resent the country because it's
America's
it's
the most
patriarchal.
America's the most, like, one of the most non-patriarchal countries in the world now. Little boy, man, child. Why would if you're going to say F America, say it because it's like, it's a multiracial capitalist hellscape. It's not gay enough.
Yeah. Like some, like, skinny dork with, like, frizzy hair.
Oh, frizzy hair.
White, though. And he's got a white GF standing next to him looking so proud.
He's epic. Well, even if you don't...
quote is like, I didn't really think in this way until I got to college and, like, took women's gender studies classes, and that put me on this path where I'm like, yeah, fuck the U.S.
Even though I believe...
When asked if he would support a total abolition of the United States military, he quickly responded, yes, please.
Well, I would, too.
The thing is, you know, the whole horseshoe theory accusation, maybe this is one time where it's accurate. One of the examples where it's legitimate because...
Well, I don't think
I could totally misinterpret the way he... originally,
yeah, you can
said,
interpret.
I took women in gender studies class and then thought, you know, it wasn't until then that I thought, fuck America. And it legitimately got me. And I should know better. Of all people, I should know better that that wasn't how it was said. But just the way I read it, I guess, you know, my mindset, I was primed to see it in that way. And
yeah,
then just watching the video, and it's like, oh, he feels that way for the opposite reason.
Yeah, I really... my God. He doesn't really hate America. He doesn't really want to see the military destroyed. He's just saying that because it's cool. I mean...
Yeah, I really got the impression that it was just because, like, the GF is there.
Whereas, like, us, like, when we say something like that, like, we genuinely mean it. It's like, yeah, we don't want the... We want to dissolve the U.S. military because it kills white men, and we mean it. We're like, we don't want that. Whereas him, it's like, this is like kind of cool, you know. It's like a little fashion statement in a way. Yeah. Oh, God. Well, even so, like, Memorial Day is about people who've died, right? Like soldiers. And even though I'm like F America now, I don't like to make fun of people who've died in the military. That's utterly disgusting because these are just working class
dead soldiers.
Yeah, dude, I hate that shit. These are people who were working class people thinking they were fighting for their nation, you know? And
yeah,
it's the only time you could kind of, it's like a, only like a bourgeois distance can allow you to, like, make fun of dead soldiers, because you got to realize that these people that are
being is, you know, in inflamed the same way that the Westboro Baptist Church is.
Yeah, I mean, even by your own logic, like, these people are tricked to go into the military by the capitalist system. Shouldn't you feel sorry about them, you know, and sad about that?
It didn't really come up.
Yeah,
you know, one of the people. Well, the whole thing is, with this video, is that they're doing the whole conservative, you know, wow, just wow.
Wow, wow.
You know, in the street interview where they're like, you know, oh, do you want to get rid of Memorial Day because it represents imperialism? And like a lot of people are like, yeah, that's fine. One woman was actually like, no, it would probably mean the end of my bank holiday, and I work at a bank, so no thanks. And I'm like, yep. I think that's how most people would feel about it if they really don't care about the politics.
Yeah. And American leftists are perhaps the worst type of human on this planet, I'd say.
Yeah, they really suck.
Because they live off of the system that they hate so much. They work in the institutions, they are professors, they're high up in academia and media, and they
let's be clear on something. A lot of us have to work within the system.
No, I'm talking about
to survive.
No,
they don't have any oppositional beliefs that contrast the system. That's the difference.
Well, not even that. They literally work on the high top of the. A lot of them work up high up in the position of power. Like they control universities, or they at least kind of have. If they're not presidents of universities, they're high up in the universities where they can control a direction of our institutions. And they still think that they're like fighting the power and fighting American imperialism when they're kind of a part of it. Like a big part of American imperialism nowadays is kind of anti-racist imperialism.
Right.
But yeah, like I imagine some white leftist going to some Eastern European country or even like somewhere like Germany and talking about whiteness and all that stuff. But the whiteness they're talking about only makes sense in like settler nations like the United States and Australia, you know. That's what they mean by whiteness, is this like social institution of settlers or whatever. These people aren't settlers. Yeah. These are native Europeans, you know. And they do try to do that. Like they try to do this whole white privilege, systematic white privilege thing in Germany. Like I see that. That's an American imperialist fucking concept. You know?
Yeah.
Like there's interviews of literally black Americans that moved to Berlin to like be gay techno DJs. And they're complaining about the systematic racism in Germany. Well, bro, like you're not even from there.
Like, if systematic racism actually worked, you wouldn't be in a place like that to complain.
Yeah, but not even that. Like the system wasn't built on that because you're not even in the picture of Germany.
Yeah.
And you're literally a part of a foreign occupying power, you know, being an American citizen moving to Germany. But you're the true anti-imperialist. By occupying the land of the Germans and spreading your little weird ideology of racial resentment. You know what's now a settler nation? England, because it's settled by a bunch of Pakistanis.
I was thinking the other day...
In Germany, because it's settled by a bunch of Turkish people.
There is absolutely no reason for the worldwide population of Pakistanis to be the way that it is.
Pakistan is fake.
Like, looking at the numbers last week, it's over 240 million.
Damn, son, that's a lot of Pakistanis.
Yeah, that's almost an America full of
Oh, God! No! That's just millions of sex perverts asking, can
I know how many, like,
can I see butt, Bob?
There'd be
how many what?
Fatal highway accidents there'd be.
Oh, gosh.
You just replaced every American with the, you know, many Pakistanis that exist on the planet. There's over 500,000 Pakistanis in the United States.
That's. What is Pakistani food like? Is it just Indian food, but halal?
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, a lot of it already kind of is halal in certain areas of India because it's just like vegetarians. There's not,
right.
Not like pork in it. Indian food is good. I got to admit.
No, Indian food is good. And you know what? I can make it myself.
Exactly. I can make it myself. You can even buy
absolutely.
Like Trader Joe's Indian food.
242 million Pakistanis out there to make Indian food for me.
What about the Sikhs, like though? They're based.
I can't really complain about the 233 million Pakistanis living in Pakistan.
Yeah, that's them doing their thing. Whatever.
But goddamn, that's a lot.
Shine on. That yeah, it's a lot because there's a lot of poverty and stuff. And so there's a lot of people just living very minimal, bare lives.
And having a shit ton of children.
And having a shit ton of shit on their street.
Yeah, fifth most populous country on earth.
Well, it's number one is China, right? I'm clever. I got it right. Is it?
Hmm?
Number one's obviously China.
Yes.
But you never know. Like, I don't like keep track of the media. What if something crazy happened in India now that they're number... Well, India's number two, though.
Like, coronavirus just wiped out like a third of India.
India is getting close to China.
Yeah, they might overpass them. Just because
superpower
never instituted any, you know, limits on...
Yeah, there's no...
That I've ever heard of.
They're no like eugenic programs.
I'd hardly call China's program eugenic.
No, I know, but
it's just demographic.
I'm just trying to be a conservative talking about China. Eugenics. Man, America has nothing on India or China.
Yeah, no. We are literally a billion people behind them.
My goodness. Yeah, we are. Holy crap. And we're the third most populous country. Oh my God. There are a lot of Americans. Holy shit. A lot of them aren't even Americans, too. That's the thing.
Yeah. When you think about it, there aren't that many Americans.
Really. Yeah, it really isn't.
There are like a few Americans. And, you know, there's like a good number, but that's about the most I can say.
Pakistan, right below us, is Indonesia. That's a lot of people in Indonesians.
There's also a fuck ton of people in Indonesia, right?
In Brazil.
Like, all of these places. Well, honestly, honest to God, I think it's just mostly Pakistan and Bangladesh, like, because they're the same thing. Between the two of them, there's, like, a lot of fucking people.
Well, you could basically add Pakistan to India. And Bangladesh and all that jazz.
Yeah.
I wonder, the most populous tribe probably has to be the Han Chinese, because that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest ethnic group. So,
because in India, there's obviously, it's an amalgamation of probably thousands of different tribes, you know, and ethnicities and languages.
If we go by the wiki numbers, we got at most 290 million Bengalis.
Never even met one.
And like 242 million Pakistanis.
I've met a few of those. Did I ever tell you about my Pakistani friend in high school?
No.
Wait, did I interrupt, or did you just want me to say it?
Go ahead.
Yeah, he was a devout Muslim, supposedly. But he'd always talk about bringing me to the strip club, you know.
Mm.
And I'm like, bro, we're 16. And he's like, bro, I can figure out a way to do it. You know, I love boobies. And like one time he asked me, he went up to me, he's like, hey, do Americans have sex with their stepmoms? Because I see it on Pornhub. I'm like, bro, that's gross. I don't want to know about what porn you watch.
Dude, people really think that's just how life is when they're...
Life in the States. It kind of,
that's,
yeah.
That's told by Pornhub. I get my cues about what other countries are like from Pornhub.
That's why I think Germany's very weird.
Yeah, they're all, everything is infamously scatological because of the Germans. Like if you just take a step back and think about it, like, using pornography is a way to like analyze an entire country or even just an ethnic group in a country is like really absurd. So yeah, between Bengalis and Pakistanis, 532 million worldwide.
My goodness.
That's a lot.
How many Swedes are there? Like 16 million worldwide?
There's like 12.
Yeah. Is that counting Swedish Americans?
Nah, if you count Swedish Americans, there's only three. There's like three people that are Swedish.
Only three Swedes?
Yeah. Nah, 13 million, according to the wiki.
This wiki leaking some good demographic info.
About 4 million Swedes in the U.S., and that's really where most of them live outside of outside of Sweden.
Well, how many of them are actually pure Swede nowadays? There's probably a decent amount, but like I'm not. Would they consider me a Swedish American? Because I'm quarter.
You can ask the Nordic Resistance Movement guys. Am I Swede enough?
Am I Swede, please? Am I Swedish?
Be like, you don't know Swedish at all. And you have like, you know, what, 10% Swedish ancestry?
No, I have like...
More?
I hate doing the percentage thing because it's so American, but I'm a quarter Swedish. 25% okay. Swedish.
Yeah, no, that's legit.
And then
I don't know.
Quarter about 25 or 30% British. Mostly English, but also some Welsh.
I don't know. I feel like that cancels out.
And then the rest is pretty much just German.
Yeah, I think that the Anglo cancels out any Swede. So what you're telling me is like you're 50% German, 50% Anglo.
I guess so. I mean, effectively, considering how kind of Americanized the Swedish side of my family is.
Well, that just makes you 100% Anglo, hence the name.
Yeah. I do like how the name confuses people. Because my intention in choosing it, I mean, I've probably said this about three times in the last three episodes, but it was in reference to what Latinos call white Americans, Anglos, you know. Because I grew up around...
The Latinos and the Pennsylvania Dutch.
True. Yeah, we're the English. So that's where it comes from. I'm not like some pure Angloid.
White American, damn it. That's what we are.
True.
We got our ethnic backgrounds, and that's beautiful. And, you know, we probably aren't going to move back to any...
We gotta live in hell. Like that.
Yeah.
You guys have fun in Europe. We're going to live in misery.
We're going to rent hell apart and until we get our ethno state.
At least if I were to move to, say, Germany or somewhere in Scandinavia, I would look the part. Let's just say that.
It'd be very easy. At least you can emigrate easily. Be like, refugees, welcome. Well, what about us?
Yes, I'm a poor Swedish American. Please
Angela Merkel, let me in.
Please give me some refuge in Sweden or Germany. You know, speaking on the term Anglo, as used by the Hispanics or Latinos or whatever, have you ever come across that in your life?
No, I haven't.
It's not something I came across personally. I've just heard about it, like, kind of like through movies. But it's kind of like, huh, that's kind of interesting. I guess I'll use that as my username. And I think it's probably used more outside of the United States.
Like, oh yeah,
like just in South America as a whole. Like, yeah, we're the Anglos. Americans are the Anglos. You know. Even if your last name is like Bjornsson, you're still an Anglo to them.
Yes.
Or Arrivederci. Do Greeks have a term for like, they just call them Anglos? Would we be kind of lumped in with the English culturally?
No. People in Greece distinguish between Americans and Brits. There's a big difference.
Okay.
I think Greeks are in Greece are particularly discerning on ethnicity just because of tourism. And the fact that people from all over the world come to visit Greece, and you know, you get to recognize the differences between them. You know, they distinguish between Americans and Canadians.
Okay, cool.
So the
Canadians are listening to Bare Naked Ladies. That's why they could distinguish them. That's a Canadian band.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like part of Canada.
Let's use my very slow Bing search. Can you do it, please? That's a Bare Naked Ladies on Google.
Scarborough, Ontario.
Yeah, that's where they're from. So if you have any listeners in Scarborough, that's a local band and you should be proud.
Yes, I guess so.
You also have...
Not the greatest bands ever.
You also have Rush from somewhere in Canada. You have Justin Bieber. You have Revenge, a very crazy black death metal band from like Edmonton or something like that. Pretty cool band. There is a country singer back in the 50s from Canada. He was like Hank Snow was his name, I think. You know that song like I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was a Canadian. The original guy that wrote it. He was from where was he? Was he from Alberta or he's either from Alberta or probably Alberta. Somewhere where it's kind of rural, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would know right now, but my Bing is going very slow. Let me go Google.
Why don't you use Yandex?
What is that?
It's like the Russian Google.
Huh. Yeah, he was born in Brooklyn, Canada. In Nova Scotia. There we go. So he's from Nova Scotia. I always thought that was interesting.
I'm trying to find if I can get the Wikipedia for other bands from Scarborough.
Whoa, dude. Okay, so Brooklyn in Nova Scotia is a part of Queens County.
Interesting.
I'm from Brooklyn, Queens. In Canada.
Fucking Queens.
Yeah. Are there any other fellas from Scarborough?
Let's just search that directly.
Scarborough, Ontario? Toronto? Let's see. Famous people. The Scarborough Rapist. Wasn't that a thing?
What?
Wasn't that?
I've never heard of that.
I know. I think there was that very creepy serial killer inspired by American Psycho, the book, before the movie was out.
Huh.
I think he was called the Scarborough Rapist before they knew his name.
Okay.
That's... God, dude. People are so weird nowadays.
Oh, shit. We got Abel Tesfaye, a.k.a. The Weeknd.
Oh.
He's from Scarborough.
Yeah, the Scarborough Rapist, Paul Bernardo. Disgusting human being. Piece of shit.
So, yeah, just looking over other musicians from Scarborough, we have Lawrence Gowan, a solo artist and keyboard player / singer of Styx. And
Styx, Derek, and Hammer.
Derek Whibley, who's a singer, songwriter, and guitarist of Sum 41.
Ah, oh, no! I knew, yeah, those guys are from Canada, the weird-looking guys. Isn't he the, like, weird-looking?
I have never listened to that band. I don't know a thing about them. I've only heard they exist.
Yeah, but Derek Whibley is ugly nowadays. He was always weird looking, but look at him now at 40. Holy my goodness.
All right.
It's like just fuck my shit up, fam, but worse.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You've probably seen that, him around on like 4chan or something.
Really?
That picture. I've seen it around like as a meme.
You'll have to send it.
Yeah.
Nickname Busy D. 4-year-old. Derek Whibley was attacked in a bar in Japan late in the night by three unknown individuals.
Japanese
after an MRI, it was revealed that he had a herniated disc in his back for the 14th time.
Oh, shit.
In 2014, he was hospitalized for alcoholism.
God, this guy is really in shambles.
Yeah, what the fuck? What do you know of this band?
Sum 41 was just a horrible pop punk band from the early 2000s.
Mm.
I'm surprised you don't know about them. Maybe it's because my brother, he's a bit older than me. He was kind of, I don't know if he listened to them, but I heard about him through him. I think it wasn't so lame.
They have an album called Chuck.
They have an album called All Killer No Filler. Is this one to stupid face? Yeah, it is. I think my brother had that one.
Need to release an album called Sneed.
They need to release an album called The Singer Is Ugly of this band.
All right.
They also have an Indian guy that plays in the band. Dave Baksh. His ancestry is Indo-Guyanese. Guyana.
Oh, no. Wait a second. Holy shit. That's I'm getting some specific, real deja vu right now.
Very specific thing. I guess there are a lot of Indians.
I was just hit some big deja vu.
What? You met some girl you liked and she's like, oh, I'm Indo-Guyanese. And you're like, oh, damn it.
No, just like looking at this Wikipedia article, talking to you about, you know, the absolute genetic cesspit that is Guyana.
Yeah. A lot of Indians there. I remember seeing that when I was a kid. I'm like, what?
Hinduism is a very large religion there. It's
24%.
Oh, yeah, no. That is like the worst country ever in terms of incoherence.
It's 39.8% Indian. That's the biggest demographic. 29.3% African.
God. Yeah.
19.9% mixed, including Creole Mulatto and Dugla. Those are people who are mixed African and Indian descent. And then 10.5% indigenous and 5% other, including what Chinese, Portuguese, and other European. Oh, wow, there's barely any Europeans there at all.
That's just nasty.
How does that country survive?
I don't know. You don't really.
How do they even get there? How did the Indians get... What's the story of the first Indian that decided that we're going to go to Guyana? I want to go to Guyana. Is it something to do with British imperialism?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
British, Dutch.
If that's the case, I can support it.
I know you're kidding. Nobody can say that seriously. Nobody can take a look at that country and be like, yeah, that was all right. No, that's not a problem.
The president of Guyana is Ifran Ali, the first Muslim president of Guyana.
Thanks.
Man, that's crazy. I totally forgot about the fact that there are thousands of Indians or millions or thousands of Indians in Guyana. Probably thousands. I don't think there are that many people. Oh, Georgetown is the capital. That's where they,
The Jonestown Massacre.
Yeah, that weird, commie Christian cult.
Yeah. If you look at, the neighboring country, Suriname, You've got...
What's your Suriname?
27% Hindustani. 21.7% Maroon. 15.7% Creole.
Maroon 5.
14% Javanese. 13% mixed. 7% Chinese. 3.8% Amerindian. 1% white.
What are Maroons?
Maroons are descendants of Africans in the Americas who formed settlements away from slavery.
Ah.
Niggas.
Maroon 5.
Maroon 56%.
Yeah. Yeah, there are certain small countries in South America that you just tend to forget exist. And
it's better off that you do, honestly.
Yeah, the Guyana and Suriname. Suriname.
French Guiana.
Sometimes like all I, them. Sometimes I get confused and I think Suriname is like in Africa just because the name sounds African.
Might as well be.
Yeah.
Christ.
Javanese. So people from freaking Indonesia. What kind of country can this be?
That's the Dutch one. Because they colonized Indonesia and brought the Javanese over.
I mean, I'm saying a lot of weird factual tidbits, but did you know that Eddie Van Halen's like a quarter Indonesian?
Really?
Yeah. His father was one of the...
Like Dutch Indonesian or like...
Yeah.
Brown?
Well, I think he'd be a quarter brown. His dad, I think, was half Indonesian, half Dutch or something like that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good move there, that whole, you know, imperialism thing.
Or is it his mom? Yeah, his mom, Eugenia, was an Indo, as they call him.
Hmm.
An Indo-European. But is there anything else you want to talk about?
Yes, we've got a... professor taking on anti-white policies. And something that might actually be good for once, perhaps. We have professors on colleges that discriminate against white students. This is published June 2nd. A professor is filing complaints with local civil rights offices as colleges allegedly violate Title VI in their student programming. University of Michigan economics professor Mark Perry provided Campus Reform his complaint with the New York Office for Civil Rights, which states that Ithaca College's Martin Luther King Scholar Program discriminates against students who are racial minorities. The Scholar Program application process stipulates that students identify as a person of color to be eligible. In his complaint, Perry stated that the Office for Civil Rights makes it very clear that race-based, racially exclusive programs like the MLK Scholar Program are illegal violations of Title VI's prohibition of race-based discrimination. In violation of Title VI, students not of color are being excluded from participation in the MLK Scholars Program. They are being denied the educational benefits of the program, and they are being subjected to discrimination on the basis of race and color. I mean, this sounds pretty solid to me.
We need more stuff like that.
Perry likewise found that various programs at Smith College discriminated on the basis of race. According to his complaint filed with the Boston Office for Civil Rights, the school's Emergency Fund for Students of Color and Bridge Program discriminate on the basis of color. That these also are a clear violation of federal civil rights laws that put the college's federal funding in jeopardy.
We need more stuff like that because it's obviously clear that they do. I saw some article not too long ago of some school in California that it's one of the schools that has the highest percentage of white students. It has 51% white students. And who knows how many of them are just pure white. There's probably white as well. Yeah,
there's probably a lot of Jews.
But anyways, there's like 51% white people. And that's not a lot, really. And they were complaining like that. Like that was a problem. Like, this is like, this is a failure. a failure on our part that there's a school where there are 51% white people. A moral failure on our end. We gotta be like the other schools where whites are only like 5 or 10%. Then we're good. Then we've reached true diversity. Yeah, that really got me angry. It's like, that's not even a good percentage. It's not like 80% white. That's 51. I know it's in California, but just give whites one university in California where they're somewhat the majority by like a few, 51%. Like, that's not, just let that happen. Let that slide. Why not? But no, there's a moral evil in that. You gotta have more retards in school.
So Smith College is 49% white. Oh my God. The graduate program is even worse. It's 62%.
Well, I think it kind of happens the more higher up you go. That's usually the case. Even if they go to like ethnic studies or some woke program, it's like, oh, there are a lot of white people. Or white people. There's nothing more funny when you come across that white fella who's like studying African studies.
The troll.
No, the guy who believes in it. He's like, I hate whitey, even though I'm white. Yeah.
And Ithaca College, that's says it's 72% white.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I would like to go there.
Their grad program is 83% white. Got to get those numbers up.
It's not the best, but it's something. Yeah. I wouldn't know what it's like to go to a school that white, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, me neither. Must be nice.
It really must be nice. I mean, I reckon a lot of them are probably Jewish, but still, you know.
Oh, yeah. Ithaca College, probably.
Yeah.
In Ithaca, New York.
Yeah. But still, you know.
The faculty at Ithaca College is 93% white.
Yeah, the faculty is always white, even in schools that are very diverse.
Yeah, and it's 90% over at Smith for their faculty. That's the all-women school. They are given a below-average male-female diversity rating, according to collegefactual.com.
It's so crazy that just our presence somewhere is enough to, like, make something problematic or, you know, bad. Just us being, you know, us existing in an institution or taking part in an institution is enough of a reason to like cancel it.
Interestingly enough, according to collegefactual.com, the fact that the student body is 100% white, or I mean 100% female, gives them a male-female diversity score of 2.88 out of 100.
Oh, bad.
So how do you get a zero?
All men. Probably.
Yeah, you still get 2.88 points for 100% women.
Like, whose job is to calculate that? Do you just...
I don't know. It's whatever College Factual's metric works, their formula.
Yeah, I always wonder about the destiny of American academia, because it's there is going to be a time soon where a lot of the old guard, they're going to die off, where I think a lot of interesting and good work is just not going to be done in our institutions anymore. Because everything is going to have to be woke. We're going to have to do diversity hires and diversity professors. Everything is going to be done through the lens of race and gender. And we're just going to fall behind incredibly. And hopefully that collapses the institutions.
Apparently this guy has done a lot of MRA stuff as well. Mark Joseph Perry. He was the 2018 recipient of the National Coalition for Men, their award on excellence in the advancement of men's issues. just for his activism on college campuses. He studied at George Mason and is part of the American Enterprise Institute, which explains the conservative leaning.
And our leaders study at the Freemason University.
Right.
Well, I hate to cut it off, but I have to get going.
All right.
Hope you guys enjoyed our podcast. I hope we still have it in us and you enjoyed listening to our voices going through your ears. Binaural experience. Are you going to say goodbye, Nikkei?
Yes. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. See you guys.